From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of January 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, final E15 test results have been delivered to U.S. EPA. The agency says it will take less than a month to review them and make a decision on whether or not all cars made in this century can use the higher blend. Meanwhile, oil refineries are already taking legal action to halt the sale of E15. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a podcast for the Farm Doc website. Scott Irwin takes up the discussion on when to make cash sales of corn and soybeans. In just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day by March wheat down 16 and a quarter at $7.89 and a quarter. May futures 8.16 and a quarter, 14 and a quarter lower. July wheat at $8.27 and a quarter, down 13 cents. Hard red winter wheat, March contract, 8.49 and a quarter in Kansas City, down 13 and three quarters. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, a finish for the March at 6.08 and a half, down 12 cents. May futures at 6.16 and three quarters. 11 and three quarters lower, July contract at 620 and three quarters, down 11 and a quarter, and September corn 576, 9 cents lower. December, new crop at 543 and a half, down nine. The March at 551 and three quarters, 8 and a half lower for 2012. January beans at $13.61, 9 and a quarter lower. The March at 1369 and a half, down 9 and a half. May beans at 1377, down a dime. And November at 1277 and a half, down 16 and three quarters. Meal finished a dollar lower. Oil at 56.33, down 76 cents. Live cattle futures at 106.17 and a half were down 80 cents in the February. And feeders at 121 for the January, down 25 cents. And February lean hogs today finished at $77.30 for 100 pounds, down 67 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil at $89.31 a barrel, down $2.24. Ethanol at $2.31 and 3 tenths of a cent, down 4 7/10. Natural gas at $4.64 and 9 tenths. That's just about a tenth of a penny lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.50 and 4 tenths of a cent, down 4 8/10 of a cent. Gold futures finished the day $44.10 lower at $1,378.50 an ounce. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is just about 12 points higher now at 11,683. The U.S. dollar currently trading at 79.4 is up 0.31. The CRB index at 327.73 is down 5.2 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They say sunny skies, a high near 27 degrees, west-northwest winds between 10 and 15 miles an hour, the gust as high as 22. Tonight should be partly cloudy, low of 13, west-northwest winds around 5 to 8, will be calm. Partly sunny tomorrow, a high near 36 degrees, wind chill values between 5 and 15, southwest winds between 7 and 13 miles an hour tomorrow. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a low of 20 degrees, southwest winds at 9 to 11. Thursday, partly sunny, a high near 27, northwest winds at 11 to 13. Thursday night, a 30% chance of snow, cloudy, a low of 13 degrees. And Friday should be partly sunny, a high near 23 degrees. By the time we get to Friday night or the weekend, mostly cloudy, a low around 8. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 21. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 11 degrees. And on Sunday, it'll be partly sunny, the high near 26. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 20. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Not too bad weather at the moment here in our part of the world. Kind of ugly if you're down under, especially in Australia, where they've had a lot of floods. And then next week, if you're here, it's going to be really cold. At least that's what I'm told, and we'll check it with Don Day later in this half hour, but kind of looks like it's going to be rough. And then in Chicago, things iced up and went a little lower for the second day in a row for the corn and the beans. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, a couple things happened. We had a little off day yesterday, which left us technically a week. And along with that, Mexico selling some gold, and the gold market down $41 to $42 today. Silver down $1.30, and that, of course, pulling the crude oil on down. Crude anywhere from $2 to $3 lower through the day as we traded today, and the dollar just a little bit higher. All of the outside markets converged on the grains as to see a little liquidation happen today, Todd, and we saw the lightening up by some of the funds here before the report next week, and you know, just a little bit of pre-front running of the supposedly index fund rebalancing. So all in all, today was somewhat a weak day, but we come back on the close and close, you know, nicely off the lows.
What do you think? When will the index rebalancing happen? Many people expecting it, but...
Well, you know, it's supposed to start. It's supposed to happen the end of the week here, or start at the end of the week. Last year, we heard all about this, and remember, they were going to have to buy more, and that happened the week before. And it never did really happen in effect this last year. Now, there's a sizable amount that keeps being talked about. So, you know, it can happen. It can move this market on down a little bit. But we think that the dry weather in Argentina, the way that the crop production estimates for the Argentine area were being cut, and the way that we continue to hear the wheat quality problems in Australia, it's going to be awfully hard to totally kill this market right now.
You're convinced of that, I take it, at this time. Of course, we have a USDA report next week.
Yeah,
strap on your seatbelt, get ready to go. Those have been fun for several years in a row now. What do you think they'll show?
That's the big question mark, Todd. You know, there's been a lot of talk on both sides. Everybody feels that the government should have to cut the Argentine crop, that we need to take some for quality problems out of the Australian wheat crop. The big question that we want to know how they're going to answer, or, and we won't find out until we see the numbers, is how are they going to handle the inventory of corn and where we're at? Are they going to go back and make some corrections for some of the early, the corn that was harvested before the first report, and they said it was all old corn in storage? But we feel that some of it was used up and gone that way, or will they leave the carryouts high and whatever along the way? And that's going to make a big difference in how we do things. And also, you know, what the projected usage for feed and ethanol is going to be for the rest of the year and what our ending stocks are going to be.
Yes.
So big numbers out there, real hard to guess what the government, they've got a lot of different ways of how they brought us our last couple of reports of what they might do with those.
So you're telling me that both the grain stocks report, the Q1 grain stocks, and the end-of-the-year report on the crop production are important when we get to next week.
Very, very important, Todd.
Well, it's the 12th day. It should be fun to watch that one. Of course, we'll be here making sure that you get all those numbers. By the way, if you have not signed up for, while I'm thinking about it, if you have not signed up for our newsletter, which usually comes out on the weekend, please do that, because there will be a newsletter on report day of next week. And you can do that at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. In fact, if you give us your cell phone in that sign-up process, or you go back and manage your account at this point and give us your cell phone number, we'll text you those numbers early in the morning. Dave Dickey will take care of that. What should we be watching other than those couple of things? We talked about the index funds. We talked about next week's report. A lot of movement in the country. Does that cause any problems that it's coming so quickly and so fast at this $6 level for corn?
Well, Well, I think that, you know, the corn we're seeing moving now is probably not the $6 corn. It's probably the $4 corn that was sold a long time ago. That way, actually, the basis levels weakened a little bit over the Christmas holidays as we saw the board move on up. With this little drop down the last 2 days might help strengthen it, might get a little more moving before the report happens. And I think that a lot of the grain companies would like to see some of that happen. We do know that everybody would like to accumulate a little cash. Corn out there, the ethanol users, the feed users, and the large elevators looking for this export business to develop here soon in the corn market, Todd.
We'll let you go for the day. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
Over the next 7 days, I'll be on the road. That's the business days, that is, starting tomorrow with the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. You can find out more about those programs, if you'd like, just by searching Google for Corn and Soybean Classics. We'll start tomorrow in Springfield and move to Mount Vernon on Thursday. And Friday, we'll be right here in Champaign County. Of course, walk-ins are welcome. The Corn and Soybean Classics, your opportunity to talk to the Extension Crop Specialist here from the University of Illinois and see what they have to say about the coming crop year and what happened in the last crop year. Dave Dickey's here now. Thanks to him for filling in while I'm gone. He'll bring you today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has received final test results from the Energy Department on how older vehicles perform using gasoline blended with 15% ethanol. The EPA says it is now on track to issue a decision this month on whether E15 gasoline is safe for vehicles built during the 2001 to 2006 model years. The decision on a higher ethanol blend was expected in December, but the EPA delayed it after the Energy Department said it needed to redo several tests because some of the cars were not properly prepared. In October, EPA approved E15 gasoline for cars and trucks made during 2007 and later. Meanwhile, a trade group representing oil refineries is suing the EPA over plans to allow the sale of E15 gasoline. The National Petrochemical and Refiners Association and two other trade groups have asked a federal appeals court to overturn the decision. They say the EPA does not have the authority under the Clean Air Act to approve a plan for fuels that run in some engines but not in others. Auto industry and engine manufacturing trade groups have also sued the EPA over the ethanol decision. Traders in Seoul today say that South Korean grain imports are likely to decline this year because of foot-and-mouth disease. Traders say it is hard to determine just how much the year-on-year decrease in grain imports will be, as foot-and-mouth disease is spreading, prompting authorities to cull a combined 780,000 pigs and cattle, or about 5% of the total population. South Korea, the world's number three corn importer, has been at the highest alert level against foot-and-mouth disease since late last month. The outbreak has prompted shutdowns of all livestock markets, leading to a 5% rise in the price of beef and pork and a possible rise in imports from the United States, Australia, and New Zealand. The Kansas City Board of Trade set an annual volume record in 2010 with 5,697,874 contracts traded. That's up 7.8% from the previous high set in 2006. The total was up 51.2% from 2009. The Rosario Grains Exchange says that Argentine corn crops are at risk from hot, dry weather, and rains are urgently needed in Pampas to protect yields. It fine-tuned its forecast for corn production, estimating 21.3 million tons versus a previous estimate for between 21 and 22 million, but warned that could easily be reduced further if the necessary rains don't arrive. The report says, quote, the crop that is most at risk right now is corn. It's going through the key flowering stage in most of the Pampas region, and it needs water urgently. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our guest this week on that program, by the way, Jim Wiesmeyer. He's with Informa Economics, takes a look at the politics of agriculture in Washington. Commodity Week, you can find it at willag.org. Over the next several days, I'll be on the road, starting tomorrow, in fact, in Springfield, Illinois, for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. We'll be in Springfield tomorrow on Thursday in Mount Vernon, and back here in Champaign at the I Hotel on Friday. I'll actually be back Thursday afternoon at the I Hotel for the Farm Profitability 2011 Conference, hosting an afternoon program at 4:30. My thanks to Dave Dickey for filling in for me 3 days this week, and then 4 days next week as we continue our route on the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. We'll be in DeKalb and Bloomington, Moline, and Quincy next week. You can find out all the information about the Corn and Soybean Classic on the website at cropsciconferences.illinois.edu. Speaking of conferences, in December, I went out with the Farm Doc team to the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. I spoke with Scott Irwin about his presentation on when to make cash sales of oil seeds and grains. This is an Illinois Farm Economics Summit podcast. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're talking today with Scott Irwin. His presentation for the summit titled When to Sell Corn and Soybeans in Illinois. Scott, let's talk about that presentation. Why did you put it together?
Thought it was time to get back to some basics, some real fundamentals of grain marketing, and take a look at a really basic question about when does it really pay to store crops here in Illinois.
So tell me about what a normalized seasonal price index might be, and for those who aren't looking at the PowerPoint presentation at this point, but could if they'd like, in the presentation section of the farmdoc.illinois.edu website, what would they find under a normalized seasonal price index?
What we really see is that there's a modest premium for pre-harvest pricing of corn, particularly. If you look at the prices in the planting period of April, May, that there's about a 6% premium for pricing corn in that period. That's very notable. And also, there's a sharp penalty for corn that's priced after planting for the next crop. So in other words, at the in the next summer, that can be as large as 8 or 10% penalty.
Very quickly, it's important to note that if you do a shorter time period, while it's a bit more volatile, the numbers appear the same.
That's right. It's kind of surprising to us that the most recent 4 years tended to show the same kind of patterns for both corn and soybeans.
And speaking of the soybeans, if you look at that index, what does it tell you for soybeans?
Not much of a pre-harvest premium, a small amount June, July before harvest. But kind of surprising, again, that storage tends to pay for soybeans all the way out to the next planting period. But again, after that, you have a pretty sharp penalty for hanging on to those soybeans.
You wound up by suggesting some emerging rules for marketing. What are they?
That there is a moderate pre-harvest pricing premium for corn, not as large for soybeans. Storage pays in soybeans, but not for corn. Unless you have really good reasons, avoid holding grain into the next summer. And, of course, always remember that these seasonal tendencies are derived over a very long period of time and can vary a lot from year to year.
That's Scott Irwin with the Farm Doc team. You can see the presentation at the Farm Doc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. Look into the presentation section for the 2010 Illinois Farm Economics Summit.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Once again, if you'd like to see those FarmDoc website Farm Economics Summit presentations made in December, you can do that. They're all on the website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. In fact, I urge you to go do that. All of the programming content is there, and a podcast for each and every presentation. It's all at farmdoc.illinois.edu. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets once a month. Harry Cooney from GrowMark joins us to talk about those markets. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's fun again. The marketplace is moving and continues to move. Crude oil's been in that $90 level. What are the present market trends?
Well, this is a real dynamic market because we came out of last year, we ended last year on a big rally here at the end of last week, the end out 2010. Yesterday, we started with a rally early in the day. We actually took out the December price highs, trading at our highest level in crude oil since 2008. But weren't able to hold that momentum into the late day trade yesterday, even though it still closed slightly higher. And then today we are starting a nice setback. Crude oil closed down a little over $2 a barrel today, and I say a nice setback. We're trying to look for contracting opportunities now for our FS member cooperatives and their end users for the next year here now. So we're looking to buy breaks in this market, and there just haven't been many breaks. We've had some very small breaks, but by and large, the period that we normally look at would be December through the end of February is normally a great time to contract for that coming year, and we just haven't had many setbacks. So that's why we're getting kind of excited here, hoping that this setback today is the beginning of something that may continue on out for several days to several weeks and then give us that better buying and contracting opportunity. And again, the crude was lower. The products also are lower also. In fact, diesel fuel fell down almost about 5 cents here today.
Well, so you're looking for a much larger swing than what we've seen already. Tell, in terms of a setback, what kind of areas are you going to pull the trigger at, you think?
We're trying to get crude oil down into the middle 80s. Today it closed just a little above 89, 89.38, I think it was, down a little over $2. We'd like to see it down something more into the middle 80s, and then probably that would be an overall level. We don't have any really one number in mind, but that's kind of our general feeling, and we're hoping that we get down into the middle 80s sometime here in the month of January. Then I think for end users out there that want to cover some of their operating needs for 2011, it'd be a great opportunity, even though I'm sure that diesel fuel, when we get crude down into the middle 80s, the diesel fuel contract price still might not be down to what the end user would really like. I still think they should be starting to do some and start locking it in increments, because we still have a lot of world demand out there, and the projections, there's been a lot of projections in the last couple weeks of $100 crude this year. I think that's very possible, but I just think in the near term here it might set back a little bit, but that'd give us this opportunity we're looking for.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Harry joins us once a month. We bring you an agricultural energy market once a week on Tuesdays. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Spaghetti Day. Spaghetti pasta dates back at least to the 12th century in southern Italy. In the U.S., spaghetti appeared in a few restaurants around the end of the 1800s. By the way, there are about 600 different shapes of pasta. On this day in agricultural history in 1493, Columbus returned from his first voyage to the New World. Among the passengers, a number of kidnapped American Indians. In 1761, Stephen Hales died, an English botanist. He pioneered the quantitative experimental approach in plant and animal physiology. He demonstrated the importance of air and light in plant growth and the pressure roots exert on sap. In 1846, Edward Johnson was born, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He created the first electric lights on a Christmas tree in 1882. And in 1863, James Plimpton of New York patented the four-wheeled roller skate. Plimpton's rocket skates allowed people to steer just by leaning to the left or right. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, first tell me about weather here in the Midwest. What will it look like for the week?
Well, we are going to have a fairly quiet stretch of weather here through most of the work week. We're going to be looking at temperatures moderating some. However, as we approach the weekend, things start to get a little bit colder. This is all going to start taking place with a cold front moving into the northern Great Lakes and the Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and Wisconsin during the day Thursday. And then Thursday night into Friday, very much a colder air mass. And light snows, for the most part, will be moving into the northern and eastern sections of the Corn Belt and Midwest. There'll be a small gap, and then here we go again. Another wave of cold and snow is going to be around by the early portions of next week. That system for the Midwest will be snowier and colder than this smaller weekend system, the smaller system that's going to come in Thursday night and Friday.
Kind of sounds like the month of January to me. Let's turn our attention to the southern hemisphere, where things should be warmer. And usually we'd go to South America at this point, but we probably ought to check out the rainfall in Australia. It's been a lot.
Incredible, and it's not really going to stop. The forecast for almost the whole continent is wet. Now, some of the areas that have received the heaviest rain should catch maybe a little bit of a break next week with a little bit drier, but stormy weather is going to continue over Australia. The western, central, and northern areas most impacted in the long term and short term. The short-term rains in the flooded areas are going to still be a concern, at least for another 72 hours.
And now move to South America. Begin with Argentina. What are their prospects at this point for a good crop?
Well, looks like a better chance for rain. It's been dry down there, has not necessarily been terribly hot, but Argentina has been the drier of the areas. The prospects for rain look a little bit better. Will it be a lot of rain? No, but shower activity will cover a bit more acreage in Argentina and Brazil over the next week.
So Brazil going to get a bit of rain then too, I take it. Is that right?
They will. And temperatures aren't going to be all that far from normal.
Anything else we should check in on before I let you go for the day?
Well, hopefully you got earmuffs and mittens for Christmas.
I did indeed. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Hey, you have a good day. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like at our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.